CRE, your voice in Spain.
Come on, let's talk.
Bill Padley on TRE, Talk Radio Europe.
It's Let's Talk for Friday, the 29th of January, just approaching 9 minutes past 10, and time to catch up, as we do every month, with Alistair Spence-Clark from Spence-Clark & Co. Good morning, Alistair.
Good morning, Bill. We're online.
Yes, we were befuddled by technology yesterday, but to be honest with you, it's pretty much how 2021 has started. We've had everything, including earthquakes, so far this year. So,
yes, pretty frightening, actually. I wouldn't like to have been in Granada the other day.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely. So, from earthquakes to attacks, which is probably about as scary, I would think.
We try and make it as simple as possible.
Let's do that. And this is one which is a kind of perennial question, and I still see people on forums, you know, the kind of pub people who chat about this with Pedro and decide that they know best and give the wrong information out about this. And this is the big difference between being resident and being tax resident.
Yeah, I'm sorry we're going to have to talk about this again. I seem to never stop talking about it, but honestly, we get so many questions about this that it's obviously not getting through to everyone.
Yeah.
And as you say, you know, pub talk often misleads people, but even more concerning, there's an awful lot of professionals who don't seem to understand the rules, and frighteningly, yeah, tax officers and immigration officers. Really stunning, actually. Mm. So yes, we need to go through it again, but the very, very first thing to say is that the rules for being tax resident and having a TIE or residencia are really completely different. They couldn't be more different, in fact.
Yeah.
Permiso de residencia, TIE, if you're going to be here for 180 days, more than 90 days, you need a TIE. You have to apply for residencia because you're here for more than 90 days. And it's possible they may even fine you if you leave Spain and you've been here 92 days. So, that is residencia. It's a very simple rule, more than 90 out of any 180 days, and you've got to get one.
And this was what people were scrabbling to do as we approached the end of the transition period at the end of last year, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I think the reason that so many people have so raised the problem is that now that they've got their residencia sorted out, or they've applied for their TIE and they're waiting for it to come through, they're now thinking, do I have to declare as a tax resident in Spain? Mm. And that's the problem. The problem is a lot of people having to face this for the first time. So that's it. So the tax rule is, it's a bit more complex than this, but at the very, very simplest level, if you spend more than 183 days in a calendar year in Spain, or your only home is in Spain, you are a tax resident, full stop.
Yeah.
And that's got nothing to do with 90, 180 or anything else. Mm. It is your only home in Spain? Yes, you are a tax resident of Spain. And two, if you spend more than 183 days in Spain in a calendar year, you are a tax resident. As I said, these are the simplistic rules, but basically this covers 99% of people's circumstances.
Hmm.
Okay, so that's, does having residencia in, or a TIE in Spain mean you're tax resident? The answer is no, it doesn't.
Sure, because you could have one without the other, effectively, mathematically.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. So, as long as you remain tax resident of another country, you have a home in that country, and you spend at less than 183 days in a calendar year in Spain. I sound like one of these politicians talking about
parking out in Washington. No, you're making sense. That's
anyway, I'm banging on about it all the time. Anyway, so as long as you are tax resident in another country, have a home in that country, you spend less than 183 days in a calendar year in Spain, you will not be a tax resident in Spain. Now, go on our website. I've explained all this in much more detail. And on our website, you will find the rules for tax residency and the conflict of those rules with residencia. So if you haven't grasped all of this information, well, all this simple information, and you want to just read it through carefully for yourself, just go on the website. Now, actually, there's a kind of related question to this, and that some people have said, but if I'm not tax resident, will they take away my TIE?
Right. Yep.
No.
The answer is no, of course not. No, because two entirely different things. Yeah.
Yes, but unfortunately, the immigration people are saying stuff like that. Oh, you're not paying tax in Spain, so you can't have a residencia. Sorry, so are the immigration people saying you've got to go and break the rules? Because, you know, I mean, so you get all this nonsense and, you know, there's confusion. I understand confusion. We live and breathe it, unfortunately, in our business.
There is an issue where, for example, if you are not a permanent resident, in other words, you haven't been here for 5 years yet, so you've maybe one of the newbies of last year, and you then leave the country for over 6 months, then you could, in fact, lose your residency.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, there are, as I said, the residencia rules, the TIE rules, are different.
Yeah.
I'm giving you just the headlines. There is more to be considered in all these rules. And certainly, you don't want to fall foul of that rule where they take away your residency because you've only got a temporary 5-year one.
Yeah.
So you know what you're going to have to do in those circumstances. And I've got a couple of people that I need to write to them, and because they've asked me this question specifically. Hopefully, they're listening to the radio today. So I've got to. But if you're in that situation, what you've got to do is you've got to keep your tickets. You've got to prove that you were here for more than 90 days.
Right. And the onus is on you to prove that, right?
Absolutely. Because the immigration official in 5 years' time, when it comes to renewing your residencia, your TIE, may say, prove to me that you actually deserve it. And yes, you're going to have to prove it. I mean, the onus is on you to prove that you were here enough time to justify having the permiso de residencia.
Yes, and I know a lot of people I've seen a lot of people on forums who are getting quite grumpy now who have a resident, they have the legally resident here, but they're having their passports starting to be stamped now when they leave Spain and come back into Spain. And some people are getting quite grumpy about that because their passports wouldn't hold all the times that they'd been in and out because there's not enough pages left in it. But of course, you'll be registered anyway on the system because it will go into the system when they scan your passport.
Indeed, and the immigration officials have access to that. But, you know, I'm not 100% convinced that, you know, the system of stamping passports is going to work long term. I mean, they may be all excited about it and doing it properly, but just imagine that, you know, you're driving you're on the Eurotunnel to Paris. You get from Paris to Barcelona on the TGV, okay, and then you know from Barcelona you're off to Malaga on another AVE. I mean, where are they going to stamp your passport? I mean, theoretically, they should stamp it at the border with France.
Do you remember the good old days when we used to plead with people to stamp our passports because we wanted to have them in our passport to show where we've been off in the world?
Those were the days.
Oh dear.
So just imagine that, you know, all the border officials get bit less enthusiastic, or you do actually come in through France 1 year, or Portugal, you know they're not so enthusiastic there, and you know what happens then? Well, I'm sorry, guys, the onus is on you to prove that you are in Spain. So make sure that you can prove it, whether it's the passport stamps or not. Just make sure you can prove it. Okay.
Yep.
If you're going to sail close to the wind, you got to have to be a bit more careful.
You have to be a good sailor.
Okay.
And with the tax resident thing, what about the example, Alistair, and we may have done this before, but it's worth pointing out again, of somebody whose family is here, but they don't necessarily work here. They work away.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That is a good one. I mean, it applies to a lot of Brits who live here, Swedes, all sorts of people who live here with their families, but they work on oil rigs. They work in, I don't know, Saudi Arabia. They work on ships.
Yeah.
And they're not here for 6 months of the year. They're here maybe 3 months of the year. Are they tax resident? The answer is yes, they are, because their family and their is living here, and their home. They only have one home, and that is here. So that's a weird one because you sort of feel, well, okay, I'm not here all the time, so why should I be paying tax? Well, I'm sorry, you are tax resident by definition. Remember, I said that the definition of tax residence is a lot more complicated than I said.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of them. Having a family, a young family that depends on you, is one of the specific thing that says you are a resident here, unless you can prove otherwise. So there is good news. I mean, whilst we're on the subject, well, there is good news for people who, you know, live, work abroad and live here, because they get a 60,000 euro exemption. Mm-hmm. So you can have 100,000 income, you know, because you're a skilled worker on in the oil business or whatever.
Yeah.
But you're only going to be taxed on 40,000.
Okay.
Mm. That's quite good.
Yeah.
Now, that depends on where you're working. It doesn't apply to working anywhere. You have to work in specific places.
Right. Okay. Understood. And in terms of once we have ascertained that we are tax resident, what does that actually mean?
Okay. Well, once we know that we're tax resident Spain, we've got to do several things. One is we have to file an income tax declaration every year, which starts in April and has to be finished by... told me to keep my phone on, didn't it? It's now talking to me.
My phone does that. It just Siri pipes up on my phone, and I've never even asked it to. I'll probably do it now. Yeah. I've said that. Yeah,
that's very distracting. Anyway, yes. Where was I? I was talking about. I forgot what I was talking about. Yes, M7. You've got to file an income tax return. Now,
yes.
If you're one of these lucky people with, you know, over €1 million in assets, you have to file a wealth tax return as well.
Right.
But focusing on normal human beings, you have to file an income tax return between April and the 30th of June or 25th of June, really. And that's pretty simple. And, you know, we do it relatively inexpensively. Well, no, actually, less than they do in the UK, actually. For hundreds of clients. And there is one other problem, though. It's not just the income tax return. It's this wonderful thing called the M720.
Ah, yes.
Oh, God. The M720 again.
Yeah. I thought we'd got rid of that, but...
Oh, lovely thought. The M720 is a particular problem because we actually start filing the M720 on the 1st of January and we finish filing it on the 31st of March. So the first thing we have to do, let's say you were resident last year for 2020 for the first time, mm-hmm. and you have a house in the UK, you've got a bank account or a SIP or a CureOps, you will have to declare those assets in the M720. There's no tax to pay. It's just... filing to declare your foreign assets, nothing more. Now, I'm talking about it again because there are so many people who will have to file 2020, and we're right in the middle of the startup, or actually getting it done for so many clients, and we don't want too many people coming to talk to us in the last week of March.
Right. Now, what was the fuss about Spain in particular and the M720? Because it's not a Spanish thing necessarily, but there was, you know, a lot of talk and a lot of people talking about going to court and going to the Court of Human Rights and all the rest of it. What was all that about?
Yeah, the M720 is about declaring foreign assets. So you've got your assets in the UK or Belgium, or you've got a bank account in Switzerland. You have assets outside of Spain. Spain wants to know about those assets because it wants to make sure you file your income tax returns or your wealth tax returns. And also, there's been an enormous amount of tax fraud in Spain over the years.
Mm.
It's a national sport, isn't it? Not football.
Yeah.
We laugh. Yeah. We laugh. It's quite serious because it means we all pay. Those of us who pay tax pay a lot more as a result.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you have to file this so that the tax office can turn around and say, okay, fine, we've checked everything and we can see you're filing your tax returns properly. The problem is that the regime, is the M720 regime, is so aggressive, it's so appalling, that even the EU has called it in and is prosecuting Spain now for its illegal regime. Now, it's not saying that the tax declaration is illegal, although it's incredibly intrusive and maybe one day... that will be actioned.
Mm-hmm.
What they're saying is the fines and the consequences of making a mistake and the consequences of not knowing about it, and a lot of people don't know about this tax return, the consequences of that are enormous. I mean, the minimum fine is, you know, 5,000.
Right.
If you fail and they catch you, it's 10,000. Just for being ignorant. Now, there's no intention of defrauding. You just didn't know about it. How can that result in a fine of 10,000? Insane.
Yeah.
So... and the other thing is that normally in Spain, if you commit an offence more than 4 years ago, it's forgiven. You know, three Hail Marys.
Yeah.
Catholic country. and no problems, you know. Crack open a bottle of champagne 4 years later.
Right.
But if you if the asset involved with the mistake in your tax declaration is a foreign asset and you haven't declared it in an M720, then there is no time limit. The time limit goes out the window. And that is also extremely aggressive. You might say, well, that's their problem for having broken the law. But it's unfair. And what it does, and what the EU is saying, is that these fines are so aggressive that they actually go against the Treaty of Rome, which requires that each member country treats or allows the residents of the EU to move about freely without worrying about stupid regulations. Well, obviously, this is a disincentive. This is discrimination against non-Spanish assets. Right. And therefore, the EU has said, you've got to change those rules and turn them into sensible fines. Well, Spain has completely, you know, cold-shouldered the EU on this, as it does. And, I mean, let's face it, it's not just Spain that breaks into EU rules. Every country breaks EU rules. But Spain is quite good at it. They, they're like Maradona, you know, making wonderful goals. Spain is very, very good at breaking the rules of the EU and getting away with it. But on this occasion, this has been going on since 2016. Okay. I mean, it's better than nothing, but, you know, it really shouldn't take 4 or 5 years for something like this to finalize in court. The EU Commission actually waited, I think it's about 2 years, for the Spanish government to respond on this, and they didn't bother. But why leave it 2 years, you ask yourself? Yeah, these politicians get paid far too much, in my view. Anyway, going back to the M720, who has to declare? Only people who are tax resident in Spain have to worry about this. I get calls from people who have nothing to do. They have a house in Spain, and they're worried about it. No, if you're a tax resident in Spain, you have to file the M720. Otherwise, you don't.
Right.
Now, a couple of other things. If you're a beneficiary of a trust, you are a trustee or a protector of a trust. If you're a tax resident, you also have to declare the assets of the trust, even though they've got nothing to do with you, apart from the fact you protect, you act as a kind of legal protector for the trust.
Okay.
You have to declare that. And the other thing is, if you are a director of a foreign company, let's say you're a director of a Dutch company, and the Dutch company has 3 or 4 subsidiaries, it's a big business, and there are lots of bank accounts, and you as a director, as a financial director, finance director, you're a signatory on all the bank accounts. Well, you won't believe it, but you have to declare all the bank accounts, even though they're not yours.
Oh, blimey.
Because you have control over them.
Understood.
Yeah, the other thing is, you know, if you're a joint owner of a property, what do you have to declare? Yes, you have to declare. So there are lots and lots of weird rules here, and we've got some, I have to say, very good facts, frequently asked questions that you will find on our website, of course.
Yeah, because it is complicated, but it's all there in black and white, which is very useful. Can I just ask you a question? Because it's coming on WhatsApp, and it sounds like the kind of question I used to get in my maths exams at school. The Modelo 720. For the average over last 3 months, is there a simpler MO than totaling the amounts each day and dividing them by 91?
Oh, wow. Yes, that's a pain, isn't it?
The answer is an aubergine. No.
Oh dear! No, it's literally the average balance. You see, the thing is, if it's a Spanish bank account, the Spanish bank account system produces these certificates automatically,
right?
Because their programs are designed for it. So, unfortunately, what you're going to have to do, sorry guys, if you know anything about Excel, download the bank statement into Excel and do an average calculation. Yeah, there's no way of doing it. You can estimate it. Nobody's going to get upset if it's a few percent out. But unfortunately, yes, you do have to average it. Yeah,
wow.
Tedious. It's a weird thing about bank accounts. It's the higher of the balance on the 31st December or the average balance in the last 3 months of the year, 1st of October to 31st December.
Goodness me.
They like to make things complicated.
Yes, it's like those things where you say if John sets off from Plymouth at 4:30 and he takes 4 hours to travel 400, it's one of those, isn't it? It really is.
Yeah, I remember those.
Yeah, absolutely.
Applied maths, yeah.
Totally right. Oh, God, don't remind me. I'm still the only person in the world who can remember the quadratic equation formula, but it's a pointless thing to remember because you've never used it. X equals minus B plus or minus the square root of B squared minus 4AC all over 2A.
Fantastic. Could you say that in England?
I use it all the time in Mercadona, I tell you.
Yes. I had to do queuing theory. Talking about Mercadona, I had to do queuing theory for my accountancy exams when I was about 20.
Goodness me.
God, that was a nightmare.
That sounds it.
I only had O-level in those days, O-level maths, so trying to do statistics and queuing theory and stuff like that was a total nightmare.
Love it. We're out of time, sadly, but we can give people the information that they need, because both of those things we've talked about, you've got an FAQ about it on your website. So where do people go, Alistair?
Well, the best thing to do, just go on the website, spenceclark1word.com, or just type into Google Spence Clark Accountants or Marbella, which is our main office, and you'll find us. And there you'll find a section for articles, and indeed we have a section for guides. We have a tax guide for Spain and lots of other wonderful and interesting things, but you'll find it on spenceclark.com.
And just to be really clear here, this work for people all over. It's not just an Andalusia or a Marbella centric thing.
Oh no, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we were doing this, you know, 10 years ago, but with Zoom and COVID and all the things, I tell you, we spend more time on Zoom calls and WhatsApp calls and all the rest of it with clients than we have meetings. We're very keen on it, actually, because it's much better than a phone call. You get a chance to I don't know, it's something about talking to somebody face to face that you pick up more information.
Well, maybe you could let us into your Zoom background then, Alistair. Are you one of the people who sit in front of a bookcase, or do you put a full background up?
I have some nice family photos and family photos
very
of our
good.
Dogs
very good.
And cats, and I have a work of art behind me. I haven't done the what's it called, curation of my background.
I'm always fascinated by people who sit in front of bookcases like that's supposed to make them intelligent.
Yes. it's I think works of art is probably a bit more interesting.
Absolutely. As always, a pleasure to talk to you. We will be back now on the last Thursday of next month to do more of the same. Thank you, Alistair. Take care.
That's great. Thanks
all the best.
Lot.
Cheers, and bye-bye.
Talk Radio Europe.